Welcome, everyone. Ready to dive in? Today, it's all about this book, The Path Forward, by Don Durrett.
Durrett.
Durrett. Okay, Don Durrett.
Yep.
Yes.
Durr and then Rhett, like Rhett Butler.
Got it. Got it. The Path Forward by Don Durrett. And what's fascinating about this book is it's not just, you know, some kind of light overview. It goes deep into these potential shifts.
Oh, yeah. He's not messing around. Consciousness, global economics,
politics,
culture, how we approach health and healing, even gets into, you know, spirituality.
So right off the bat, right in the introduction, Durrett, he mentions he's been like looking at these trends for a long time, you know, going all the way back to the 90s. He's basically saying, we're not just hoping for things to get better. Like, he's convinced it's already happening.
Yeah. And that's a shift from his earlier work, too. It used to be more hopeful. Now he's like, no, this is happening. And part of the reason, he says, is because these fundamental truths are coming out.
It's like humanity's having a growth spurt.
Yeah. Huh?
Spiritually.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he doesn't shy away from the big stuff, you know. He calls them truth bombs. Like, objective truth exists. We're not really separate. We just think we are.
Okay. So walk me through these truth bombs.
Well, like I was saying, separation's an illusion. It's all connected through consciousness. And ultimately, everything goes back to the creator, like the source.
So one of the things that struck me, just even reading the introduction, is how Durrett talks about his own, like, perspective changing.
Yeah.
He mentions that before, his writing was based on hope. But now he's writing from this place of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's convinced.
Yeah, it's a knowingness. Which I think is interesting because he talks about being an old soul. Like, he's had many lifetimes, been a priest, a scholar. That definitely gives you a unique lens, right?
Yeah, and it adds this whole other layer when he talks about metaphysical stuff, you know?
Mm.
Like, you can kind of understand where he's coming from. So what we're going to do today is go through each chapter because Durrett lays out a lot of really specific concepts in The Path Forward. We want to unpack that and, like, really get into his vision for the future.
Sounds like a plan.
So chapter one, consciousness shift. This is where it all begins, right?
Oh, absolutely. It lays the groundwork for everything else in The Path Forward.
So how does Durrett define consciousness? Because a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a vague thing.
Right, right. Well, he says it's not some vague idea. Consciousness is pure energy. And here's the thing. It's all interconnected.
Okay, so it's not like my consciousness is here, your consciousness is there, and they never meet.
Nope. He even talks about consciousness entanglement. Which, you know, it's kind of mind-bending, but he says it's like your thoughts and intentions, they can be connected.
Like, my thoughts can influence what happens to you.
He gives this example of yogis in India who, through their deep meditation, they're, like, influencing stuff in the world.
Okay, so it's not just me thinking about, you know, world peace and hoping it'll happen. Like, my thoughts actually contribute.
Right. It's like all our individual consciousness is part of this bigger thing, this mass consciousness field.
Which, if I'm getting this right, that field then shapes our reality. Our collective beliefs can, like, manifest things.
That's what he's saying in The Path Forward.
So even stuff like, why do we age? Why do our bodies need food? Durrett says it's because that's what our collective consciousness believes.
Yeah.
And then to drive that home, he's like, there are these people who don't age normally or who seem to need less food, almost like they're defying the norm.
Mm.
Because maybe their individual consciousness is different.
Right. It's a powerful idea. And then, you know, he goes into DNA activation.
Okay. So that's where it starts to get, like, really biological.
Oh, yeah. He says we're shifting from this, like, fixed two-strand DNA.
Which is what we all learned about in school.
Right. To this potential of having 12 strands.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he connects this directly to humanity's vibration rate increasing. We're, like, raising our frequency.
Okay, so it's like we're not just changing our minds, we're actually changing our bodies too.
That's what Durrett is suggesting. And he talks about the average vibration right now and how it's expected to increase. It's all tied in.
So this is all part of the consciousness shift. And then Durrett breaks down our energy field.
Right? Yeah, in The Path Forward, he goes into the physical body, which we all know.
Obvious.
But then there's the subtle body, which includes the aura, you know, that energy field around us.
And his chakras.
Yes. Those spinning energy centers. And then he talks about the soul, which is like a whole other thing.
Not just part of the body.
Right. It's like an information conduit, but it comes from outside the body.
Okay. So when we talk about consciousness, we're not just talking about what our brains are doing. There's this whole other energy system going on.
Exactly.
Durrett specifically mentions 2019 and The Path Forward. And he says that was a pivotal year because that's when we gained the ability for this, like, dynamic DNA activation. And he talks about all these advanced souls that are incarnating now. Like, they can handle the higher vibrations.
Yeah, and their presence helps raise everyone else's, too. It's like this feedback loop pushing us higher.
So everything's connected.
Yeah.
And Durrett takes it even further. He connects this rising vibration to what's happening globally.
Right. He mentions this prediction that if we reach an average vibration of 120,000 cycles per second, we could have world peace.
Whoa. Okay, so inner peace leads to outer peace.
That's the idea in the path forward.
And on a personal level, he talks about, like, how does this actually affect us, this rising vibration? He mentions increased compassion.
Yeah, less feeling of separation, understanding, empathy, that kind of stuff. It's a shift in how we see ourselves and others.
So it's not just about, like, levitating or something.
No, no. Though he does get into some of that later.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But right now I'm thinking, all right, how do I raise my vibration?
Well, Durrett gives some suggestions in The Path Forward. He talks about spiritual awareness, replacing old beliefs with truth, and, get this, talking to your higher self.
Telepathically.
Yep. He says your higher self is always listening. It's like this guidance system we have, but we're not always tuned in.
So I'm literally supposed to, like, have a conversation in my head with my higher self.
That's what Durrett suggests.
Okay. All right. So let's say I'm doing that. How does my higher self help me with all this, with the DNA activation and the spiritual awareness?
Well, he says your higher self is key. Like, most of us are only using about 30% of our DNA's potential. And that's where our higher self can help us unlock more. It's like we're operating with only a fraction of our brain power.
Right.
But we have the capacity for so much more.
Okay. Now, Durrett mentions in The Path Forward that he's a fifth level old soul,
yeah,
and that his primary roles are priest and scholar. Like, what's he trying to say there?
Well, I think he's trying to give context to his understanding of these concepts. He's not saying everyone has to agree with him.
Right, right.
But it's like he's speaking from a particular perspective based on his own experiences.
Yeah, okay. So he clarifies the nature of the soul and the path forward too, right?
Oh yeah, he gets into that. He's really emphasizing that the main part of the soul is not in the physical body. It's like we only have a piece of it here, which shows up as our aura.
So the rest is somewhere else.
In these non-physical dimensions.
Yeah.
And he compares our time here to, like, a virtual reality, a computer game. Our bodies are just avatars. He even predicts that science will prove this interconnectedness and, get this, our ability to influence density by 2050.
So, like, walking through walls.
Potentially. If you can manipulate your energy enough, it comes back to consciousness.
That's the key to everything.
Yeah. It's not just a byproduct of the brain. It's the source.
Yeah.
He really drives that home in The Path Forward. And it's consciousness that creates everything, even physical objects.
So what's the difference between a soul and a rock then?
Good question. He says the soul can evolve spiritually. A rock, not so much. And he mentions the Pleiadians. They're like a civilization with really activated DNA, and they can, like, create stuff with their minds.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's all about consciousness.
Okay. I'm starting to see the connections here. Durrett really hammers home in The Path Forward that we're all connected, that the sense of separation is an illusion. And then he drops in these possibilities, like walking through walls.
Or teleporting, translocating.
Because our consciousness can, in theory, control energy.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. But if consciousness is the key, who knows what's possible?
So what happens after we die? Does Durrett talk about that in The Path Forward?
Oh, he does. He says we go into these non-physical worlds, but they're still governed by the creator's consciousness.
So it's not like we're just floating around aimlessly.
Nope. There's structure, purpose.
Okay. And while we're alive, we have this connection to our higher self. But the higher self is like a bigger version of our soul.
Yeah, that's how he explains it. It's the part that stays outside the body.
Okay, making notes here. Now, in The Path Forward, Durrett brings in some of Kryon's teachings. I know Kryon is this, like, channeled entity.
Right. Channeled by Lee Carroll.
So what does Kryon say about all this?
Well, Kryon talks about this global mass consciousness energy field and how it affects our DNA and our spiritual awareness. And guess what? Kryon says it's the creator that's pushing us towards love.
So it's like we have help.
Yeah, like this guiding force.
Okay, so that's hopeful.
And here's another hopeful thing. Kryon says it only took less than 1% of people becoming aware to kickstart this consciousness shift.
So it doesn't take everyone. A small group can make a big difference.
That's what Durrett and Kryon are saying. And it comes back to free will. Every soul chooses when they're ready to wake up, you know, become more enlightened.
So we're not all on the same timeline.
Nope. But Durrett points out that especially since 2012, there's been this like acceleration.
Like things are moving faster now.
Yeah. So our choices matter even more now.
Okay. So how do we actually make that shift? Durrett talks about personal transformation.
Yeah. He says it starts with a change in perspective. We need to move away from the ego, which is often based on like limited beliefs. We need to align with our higher self.
Which is trickier, I guess, because the ego is loud.
Oh, for sure. But the ego is also limited, right? And according to Durrett, the higher self is aligned with the creator's plan.
And what's the creator's plan?
He says, it's to learn to love ourselves and to love humanity.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally. That's a big one. It's about overcoming fear, judgment, all that stuff that the ego clings to.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about free will? If there's a plan, where does that leave our choices?
Well, Durrett says in The Path Forward that our free will isn't totally unlimited. Our soul has its own agenda, and there's this thing called the Akash.
The Akash?
Yeah, it's basically the record of all our past lives, our experiences, and it kind of guides us towards the lessons we need.
So it's like, even though we have free will, there's a curriculum we're following.
In a way, but it's not like punishment or like, we're being controlled.
So we're not being graded.
He says the creator doesn't judge. It's all about learning.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
But so we have our soul's agenda and we have the Akash and then we have our ego running around making choices.
Yeah. And sometimes those choices aren't so great.
But our soul kind of keeps us in check.
Durrett suggests that. Like it nudges us back on track when we stray too far.
Okay. And all these individual choices we're making, they affect the whole.
Right. It's like a democracy. Every vote counts.
So even if I'm just focused on like my own little life, I'm still contributing to the bigger picture.
Exactly. And Durrett uses the examples of Lemuria and Atlantis.
Those ancient civilizations that disappeared.
Right. He suggests their downfall was because of bad collective choices.
Hmm. Okay. So this consciousness shift, is it like a new thing?
Durrett says, no, it's been in the works for a long time, at least 100,000 years, but it's been accelerating.
So, like, it's moving faster now.
Exactly. And he points to specific times, like the 19th century when more esoteric knowledge was being released, and then the 60s with that big spiritual awakening.
Oh, yeah, and that big harmonic convergence thing in 87. I remember people talking about that back then.
Right. Durrett says that was a turning point, like humanity collectively choosing a new path.
And then there's 2012.
Huge shift. He says that was when the DNA change happened, enabling this whole new level of spiritual evolution.
Wow. And he keeps talking about higher self in The Path Forward. It's not just this vague concept. It's actually like a source of information.
Oh, yeah. He connects it to the Akash, to our past lives, even to our spirit guides.
So if I could access my Akash, it could help me make better choices now.
He says so. It gives you a broader perspective, like you can see patterns.
Hmm. Okay, so the higher self is like this wise guide, and it helps us with the DNA activation too, right?
That's what Durrett says. He uses this term quantum, like we're becoming more quantum.
Which, I gotta be honest, that sounds a little sci-fi.
It does, but think about it. If our consciousness is energy, and energy can do all these amazing things,
then maybe we're just starting to tap into that.
Right. And he says, the full potential of quantum DNA is limitless, but it'll take generations to fully activate it.
But we can start now.
That's the message. And it comes back to aligning with our higher self.
Not just living from our ego.
That's a big shift.
And Durrett mentions that, like old souls, they're emitting more light.
Yeah, and he says that affects everyone.
So it's like the more people who are awake and vibrating higher, the more it helps everyone else.
It's a collective effort, in a way. And he keeps contrasting the higher self with, like, just living from your head.
Yeah, all that thinking, planning, worrying.
Exactly. He's like, the higher self knows way more than we do. It has access to this vast intelligence.
So we just got to learn to listen.
Ah.
Okay. What about kids? He mentions kids born after 2012 in The Path Forward.
Oh, yeah. He says they come in with more compassion, a stronger connection to their higher selves. He sees that as a sign that we're moving towards peace.
So the next generation might not be so into fighting wars.
He's optimistic about that. And he talks about the Aquarian age, too.
The age of, like, technology and all that.
Yeah. He thinks there'll be big breakthroughs in understanding consciousness during this time.
Okay, so science is catching up to what the mystics have been saying for centuries.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And he talks about that knowledge barrier we crossed in 2019. Like, now we can actually start to study consciousness scientifically.
And who knows what that'll lead to.
He thinks the technology we have now will seem primitive.
Hmm. So the consciousness shift It's not just some feel-good idea. It's a real change, and it's affecting everything.
It's the foundation for everything else Durrett talks about in The Path Forward.
Okay, so that's a good segue into chapter two.
Economic shift.
This is where it gets real for a lot of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because money matters.
It does. And Durrett, he starts this chapter by talking about COVID-19 and the war in Ukraine.
Okay, so he's not just talking about some future far off. He's tying it into current events.
Absolutely. He says those events are like signals that the U.S.'s dominance is ending.
Economically.
Right. And he predicts the dollar is going to decline fast.
Not good for the U.S., obviously.
No.
Yeah.
He talks about potential economic stagnation, job losses, bankruptcies, like a real lowering of the standard of living.
And that could lead to more crime, less safety.
It's all connected.
Right.
And he actually references an earlier book of his in The Path Forward, The Demise of America, where he predicted this stuff back then.
Because of excessive spending, debt.
Exactly. He's like, politicians undermine capitalism by printing too much money and going way into debt.
Okay, so it's not capitalism that's the problem. It's how it's being managed.
That's what he argues. And he pulls out the numbers in The Path Forward, like the national debt, the budget deficit. He's like, it's unsustainable.
It's not just a U.S. problem either. It's global.
Yeah. He criticizes the Federal Reserve, too, for manipulating the economy. And he says a lot of central banks are doing the same thing.
So it's not really a free market anymore.
Not in the true sense, no.
So where do we go from here? Because this debt, it's not going away.
Durrett says in The Path Forward that it's a sign of a bigger change, a structural change. And he connects it to all those protests around the world demanding economic justice.
People are fed up with inequality.
Yeah. And he ties it to the consciousness shift. As people become more spiritually aware, they demand more fairness.
It's like as we evolve, our systems have to evolve too.
Makes sense. And he brings up those riots that happened during COVID.
After George Floyd was killed.
Yeah. And he says while race was obviously a factor, there was also this underlying sense of economic injustice fueling those riots.
It was like a breaking point.
Maybe. And he thinks the pandemic, it's going to accelerate these economic changes. Well, he says in The Path Forward, corporations are going to have to shift their focus. It's not just going to be about profits and shareholders anymore.
They're going to have to care about employees.
Yeah, he sees a future with shorter work weeks, higher pay, more focus on quality of life.
That sounds good.
Right. He even predicts UBI will become a thing. Universal basic income.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's like everyone gets a basic income no matter what. And he mentions Spain. They started talking about it during the pandemic.
So it's not just some fringe idea.
No, it's gaining traction.
Yeah.
And he sees this future in The Path Forward, where there's less difference between the highest earners and the lowest, more transparency in pay scales, more opportunities for self-employment, too.
So like more entrepreneurship.
Exactly. And he thinks the average worker will work less and earn more.
That's a big shift from where we are now.
It is. But that's not all. He talks about communities that don't even use money.
Why? How does that work?
Well, the community collects income and pays bills, like, collectively. It's a different way of thinking about resources.
Mm, very different.
Right. And he talks about more diversity in living arrangements, too. Like, hyper-localized, sustainable communities.
Yeah, I've heard people talking about that, becoming more self-sufficient.
Exactly. Growing their own food, generating their own energy.
And then on the flip side, there'll be these super high-tech communities, too.
Right. It's not one size fits all. People will have more choices.
So it's not just the economy that's shifting. It's how we live.
Exactly. And Durrett says in The Path Forward that businesses, they're going to have to be responsible for their communities. It's not just about shareholders anymore. It's about stakeholders.
Like the people who live there.
Yeah. And he thinks a lot of companies will stop having shareholders altogether.
What? How would they raise money?
Thanks, maybe. Or other ways. He sees the shift happening where profit isn't the only motive. It's about caring for people, the planet.
That's a pretty radical shift in thinking.
It is. But Durrett's not afraid of radical ideas. He says work-life balance is going to become really important.
People burn out.
Yeah. And he thinks society will be restructured to serve people, not the other way around.
So it's not about, like, everyone just sitting around being lazy.
No, it's about finding a balance. He thinks people will work less, have more time off, more flexibility.
More remote work too, right?
Oh, yeah. He says the internet is going to be key for everything. Transactions, shipping, marketing, communication.
The internet's not going away.
Nope. And then there's free energy. He talks about that a lot in The Path Forward.
Free energy, like limitless power.
Yeah. He thinks it'll be a game changer.
But how is that even possible?
Well, he mentions magnetic loop generators and these plasma-based systems like the Sapphire Project.
Okay, so real technologies.
Right. And he thinks it'll make food production, shipping, transportation, even housing way cheaper.
Because energy costs would plummet.
Exactly. And he predicts a ton of new inventions, too.
Like what kind of inventions?
He specifically mentions AI, really advanced AI, and low-cost seawater desalination.
Using nanotechnology.
Yeah, he thinks nanotech is going to be huge. And all these inventions will create new industries, new jobs.
So even with all this change, there'll still be work. It'll just be different.
Right. He also addresses the issue of overpopulation in the path forward.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and he actually thinks the population is going to decrease.
Seriously? Why?
Because of the consciousness shift. He says some people won't be able to handle the higher vibration.
And they'll get sick.
Yeah, maybe. He doesn't get into specifics, but he thinks there'll be a significant population drop.
Over the next century?
Yeah, he thinks it'll be gradual.
Okay. That's a pretty wild prediction.
It is. But he's also optimistic about how work environments will change.
How so?
Well, he thinks they'll be more harmonious. Employees will feel respected, like they're part of a team.
Less competition, more collaboration.
Right. He even uses the term family-like.
Mm. So a big shift from the corporate culture we have now.
Yeah. And he reminds us that the consciousness shift is what's driving all this change.
It's a foundation.
Exactly. And it'll take time. A few generations, at least.
So it's not going to happen overnight.
No. But he emphasizes the need for good leadership during this transition.
Yeah. And he stresses the importance of businesses treating their employees well.
Oh, yeah. He thinks that's going to be a key part of the new economy.
Respecting workers, paying them fairly.
Exactly. He talks about a fairer ratio between, like, entry-level pay and CEO pay.
That's a big one. Because the gap is huge right now.
Yeah. And he predicts things like paid sabbaticals for employees.
Sabbaticals? Like, time off to travel or study.
Yeah, he thinks that'll be common. And employee boards with real power to influence the company.
So more worker empowerment.
Absolutely. And he sees businesses becoming more self-regulating, less government control.
But if everyone's self-regulating, who makes sure people aren't taking advantage?
Well, he talks about that too. He suggests arbitration boards to handle things like if an employee needs to be dismissed.
So it's not like anarchy. There'll still be systems in place.
Right. And he emphasizes that companies will be focused on constant improvement, efficiency, working together, not just competing.
Sharing knowledge, open source software.
Yeah, it's a different mindset. And the goal won't just be profit. It'll be about caring for employees and benefiting the community.
So businesses as a force for good.
Yeah, that's the vision and the path forward. And he talks about public arbitration for grievances, so everything's transparent.
Okay, so if I'm an employee and I have a problem, I can bring it to this board, and it's not just settled behind closed doors.
Right. And he thinks stock markets might become a thing of the past.
Whoa. What, no more Wall Street?
Maybe not. He thinks smaller companies will be more dynamic.
Interesting. So less focus on these huge corporations.
Yeah, it's a move towards decentralization, both in government and in business.
So what about regulations? Will everything just be a free-for-all?
He says there'll still be regulations, but they'll be simple.
And companies will mostly self-regulate.
But the employees will be involved in that oversight because they're stakeholders in the community.
Okay, so it's like a more holistic approach.
Yeah.
Everyone's taking responsibility.
Right, and businesses will be expected to be good community members.
Or else what?
He suggests they could lose their license to operate.
Wow, okay, so there are consequences.
Definitely. And he talks about changes in how bonuses are paid.
So like less for the CEO and more for everyone?
Yeah, he suggests everyone might get the same bonus.
Whoa, that's pretty radical.
He's full of radical ideas. And then, get this, he thinks certain industries should become nonprofits.
Which industries?
Oh, like cable TV, internet providers, insurance, banking, utilities, even healthcare and housing.
Whoa, wait, nonprofit housing? How would that work?
He doesn't get into specifics, but he suggests it as a way to control costs.
Because right now, those industries are all about profit and people are struggling.
That's his point.
Yeah.
And he's not against capitalism entirely. He just thinks it doesn't work for everything.
So, like, it's good for manufacturing, but maybe not for essential services.
Yeah, he thinks those should be focused on serving people, not making money.
Okay, that's a big change.
It is. But he thinks it'll happen gradually through experimentation.
So, like, communities will try different things, see what works.
Exactly. And he emphasizes that less government involvement is usually better for business.
Less red tape, more freedom.
Right. And then he goes into banking. He predicts the current system will collapse.
Why?
Because it's based on inflation. Printing more money. He says that's unsustainable.
So what's the alternative?
He talks about cryptocurrency, blockchain technology.
Ah, so we'll just bypass banks altogether.
Well, he thinks there'll be two systems, traditional banks and then this new crypto system.
So like digital wallets instead of checking accounts.
Yeah, he sees that happening. And crypto staking.
Which is?
It's a way to earn interest on your